B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
27-yard line at Tennessee, second down and 10. Mahomes is in the gun. He's flanked by his running back, his arms extended, three wide, gets the snap, four-man rush, moves up, he gets a block, he runs to the near side, he's on the numbers, he breaks a tackle at the 30, comes to the near side, breaks another tackle, down the sideline, 25-20, got a block at the 10, cuts inside, five, he's in! What a run! Touchdown, Kansas City! Patrick Mahomes! A dazzling 27-yard zigzagging run! And the Chiefs have taken a lead 11 seconds before halftime.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And I'm excited for this year's Super Bowl. I'm generally 50-50. Sometimes I could give a rat's ass, but I like this one. Defense, offense, you know, the storylines. But I also am rooting for Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid is brilliant at so many things in football. I think that he's a Hall of Famer, certainly more deserving than Bill Cowher. And, I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But the I just want him to – I think he's a fairly likable guy. He let himself get all fat. And I just would like to see him win something. And plus, that style of football is fun to watch. But you guys are going the other way. But I wonder after yesterday if some minds might be changed.
Okay, so Andy Reid, the one thing I love about him is he's an everyman. He was asked what he was going to do the night after, what he did the night after they won the AFC Championship.
Did you take some personal time last night to enjoy this accomplishment along the way, or how'd you spend the evening?
Had a cheeseburger and went to bed. Yeah,
I mean Andy Reid's okay. The best.
Yeah. Do you believe the order in that which that happened?
That he had a cheeseburger and went to bed.
I think he went to bed with a cheeseburger.
Made and sweet love to his cheeseburger.
No, he just popped that bad boy on his chest and just said, "Let's turn on the TV and get it going."
The reason Andy Reid is so great is that he's one of these guys that's like, "I'm a big dude and I own it and I'm going to embrace it." I mean, the guy has no problem telling you how much food he ate before.
Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, reflected on his interview with you a short time ago, and what stood out to him not only was that you made a mark enough so that he was going to hire you, but that you also ordered three steaks.
Oh, come on.
Is that
That's
true?
What he said? He's too funny.
So you did. Wait. So let's set the record straight. You did or didn't order three steaks?
Well, I might have. But I don't remember ordering three steaks. I'll take credit for it, though. I mean, I'm one of the Forkedarians, so I'll take credit for it.
What does he say? He's one of the what?
Is that like a meat eater thing? What is a Forkedarian? Maybe it's like an elite group of eaters.
Oh, Forkedarian? He'll eat anything on a fork?
Now that makes sense.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a Forkedarian.
I bet you it's him in an elite group. It's like a knife and a fork in a crossed over each other.
A secret society in an Olive Garden somewhere.
Yeah. No, yeah, they go down. There's a basement at a steakhouse. Just take off their shirts and are bathed in cow blood and just eating.
Oh, he's the best, and he loves talking food, man.
Did you have any new trips going on, or did you try anything exotic or fun when you had your off time this year?
No, I wasn't too exotic.
you never know.
I attacked a couple chili rellenos. Yeah, that's about it. They were great. Yeah, no, they were great. But other than that, I went to California and I've got a place there and enjoyed it for a little bit.
And just ate some chili rellenos.
Yeah. So the person who told me that he eats multiple steaks was right on point.
Three, though. Oof. Could you imagine going to dinner with someone who ordered three steaks?
Yep. And he's related to me.
Oh, your dad. Did you say he could just destroy steaks?
My mom gets, I don't even know where they find it. But it's just a slab of the crappiest part of the cow.
It's like blue.
It's blue.
Yeah, I know.
He loves the grill, but he turns the grill up as high as it will go. He slaps the thing down. He turns it over. It's probably 24 ounces, no bone in it. And he just, by the time you're halfway done with your salad, he'll have crushed that thing.
If you're Andy Reid, what do you think your dream show to appear on would be?
Oh, well, Man versus Food.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
Maybe there's one that's even a little more up his alley.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
No.
If you like kicking.
Have you not seen?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Guy Fieri and Andy Reid meeting together for an episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, God, I have not.
You have not? Well, Fred, I give to you, sir, something that only could have been willed into existence. Two men who wear a bowling shirt better than anybody else on the planet.
It's just two guys that just love extremes. One loves extreme flavor. The other one just loves extreme amounts of food.
This is
a meeting of the minds.
Andy Reid in Kansas City with Guy Fieri.
Oh, boy.
Where are we going to eat?
We're going to a butcher shop.
We're going to clean the place out.
Where are we going to eat? We're going to a butcher shop.
Well, we're going to go to a restaurant of some sort. Nope. No. Let's just cut through all the garbage and get straight to the meat.
We need nothing that requires heat. I'm telling you, we're going to go to a butcher shop and we're going to eat it. Well, how are we going to cook the food? Wait a second. How are we going to cook the food? It doesn't... Not computing.
This is an SNL skit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we going to eat?
We're going to a butcher shop that's also the greatest sandwich shop you've ever eaten at.
The real deal.
The real deal.
What's it called?
The Pig Witch.
By the way, Gruden gave me his permission. Come on,
Coach. Yeah. Go Chiefs.
Here's looking at you, brother. Don't go too far with those fries.
Now, are they holding the sandwiches?
So he's sitting in front of him. He goes, don't go too far with those fries. So they're in the kitchen, and like Andy Reid at times when Guy Fieri is doing the whole setup and everything and talking to the chef, Andy Reid is just staring down at this gigantic like pork burger, and you just see him going,
he's like,
not even looking around at what's going on.
He's
just
like, shut up.
Hey, when do we eat?
Shut up.
Here's looking at you, brother. Don't go too far with those fries.
You know how to do the hunch?
Oh, baby, I got it down.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, he owns this.
He got the hunch, and he does this thing with his back where he grabs the burger, brings it up. He, like, completely changes the composure of his body.
That's his squat.
Right.
That's when he goes to the gym. He just does the hunch.
And it just goes straight into the mustache, baby. Go in the stash hole. I don't know.
Oh, he owns this.
Wow. It sounds like two guys with ball gags having sex. I mean, you like food when those are the noises you're making.
Oh, he owns this.
It's like two whales communicating.
Wow.
I love the crisp on the pork, and I'm loving the patty. Three cheeses, man, blend perfect.
Like he cares. I like the crispness of it. You don't care.
You could cut this guy's tongue off. he just wants it in him. He doesn't care about the experience of tasting it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
get in my belly. It really is get in my belly.
Well, it's funny because you know it took him like 6 seconds to eat it. And so he's like trying to describe it. Oh, the Christmas. Yeah, Andy, the Christmas. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the subtleties of the cheeses. The three cheeses really worked together. I just think you like the idea that there were three cheeses.
I love the crisp on the pork, and I'm loving the patty. Three cheeses, man, blend perfect. How about the jalapenos? Man alive.
My favorite part of the whole thing, though, is the pulled pork patty.
My favorite part is eating it.
Go back ahead, go.
versus eating it.
Yeah, he's trying to get back. Let's get back on point.
Describe. You sit over there.
Describe it. And the jalapeno. Yep, yep. There's jalapeno on that. All right. Now let's keep eating.
I got to give him an A-plus on hunch, though, huh? When I called Coach and I said, where do you want to go? He picked it. Boom. Well done, brother. Congrats.
Thanks, man.
Keep it up. Coach, thank you, man. Yeah. There's some YouTube channel. If you're doing food shows, we're going to talk.
Yeah. The idea that Andy Reid knows the butcher shop to go to. Like, he just eats at a butcher shop.
Part of the contract negotiations with the Chiefs. I need a map.
So he said it's a great sandwich store, too. The guys who owns it are like, no, it's not.
Yeah, we don't make
sandwiches. He just gets a handful of meat.
Yeah. He brings his own bread.
Come on, yeah.
That's what he's excited about. The bread. You ready to go eat some food there, Andy?
Come on, yeah.
Andy, are you going to be on that toilet for about 3 days?
Come on, yeah.
We're going to a butcher shop.
Come on,
don't go too far with those fries. I love a crisp on the pork.
Don't
go too far with those fries.
Come on,
Andy Reid. How could you not root for the guy? All right, Dave Gauchère is a man who called many seminal Bruins games. He's now doing television in Las Vegas as the Knights are in town tonight at the Garden. We will talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Let's do something crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold / Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a clean kick to the head of Johnny. And Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
Right side, a wrist shot blocked.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
And Bergeron, a one-timer. Saint Lomer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Wrist shot score! Bergeron! And game seven! And the Bruins win the series!
Iconic calls. There you go. His name is Dave Gauchère, and he is back in town. He's a big-time TV guy over there in Las Vegas now, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Dave Gauchère, hello.
What's up, boys?
You still with the sheriff, Shane Knighty, as your partner?
As far as I know, as of last night, yes. yeah, the sheriff. Sheriff's in town, so yeah, it's been a blast.
When you guys go out in town, is it impossible for you guys to eat because of Shane Knighty and people coming up to him I'm trying to eat, and they want an autograph from him?
Yeah, he's very popular. He's a man of the people, which I like that, you know? Yeah, no, he's... We've had a ton of fun out there, but it's been cool, you know. Over the last couple of years, this is to have, like, we got here Sunday afternoon, so we've had at least a couple of days back here. The weather's been good; it's been nice and warm, so we've enjoyed that.
Well, we did that just for you, Dave. I was thinking about you the other day too, because when the UFC fight was on, they showed in the crowd the great Mark Davis, who is there, who obviously the Raiders are about to start now in Las Vegas. Have you had any run-ins with him? Because I know he's been spending a lot of time out there, and I would think he would probably want to get to know all the people involved with the other sports franchises in town. Did you have you spent some time with the very strange Mark Davis?
I have. You know, it's funny, though. So he's been to a bunch of Golden Knights games. So, like, afterwards, like, either before game or after game, like, I'll walk right by him, like, downstairs. And he's just, like, by himself, just kind of walking around. He has no idea who I am, which is fine. But it's funny. Like, I will tell you, a couple of times that I've walked by him, it's clicked in my brain that, yeah, the stuff that you guys would say about him, I'm like, well, here he is. He's right here. Like, I just walked by this dude.
He's just looking for chocolate.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure what he's doing. But
neither is he.
But that stadium's flying up. Like, it's across. It's on the other side of the south end of the strip, and it looks like it's going to be awesome. So, he's been to a few Golden Knights games.
Well, Dave, you guys had like instant success as far as ticket sales when the Golden Knights started. Do you think that the Raiders are going to get the same kind of reaction? Because I mean, it's one thing to sell out a whatever 17,000 seat or whatever the T-Mobile Arena is there. But I mean, that's a big ass stadium they're building there. Is there enough passion for NFL football in that town to sell it out?
I think they'll do well, Rich. Here's the thing. It's different to me, and I'm biased, obviously, because I work for the team. But, you know, the Golden Knights are pretty proud of the fact that they're Vegas-born, right? If you go around Vegas, you'll see all these billboards about being Vegas-born. They're a team that was, you know, they weren't moving from somewhere else. Now, that being said, I do think the Raiders will do well. I do think that the NFL as a commodity, you know, especially in a brand new city like Vegas, I think they'll do fine. I really do. You know, that being said, the first year of the Golden Knights, and it certainly is not the case anymore, there were a lot of teams that, you know, the visiting fans would come, and why wouldn't you make a long weekend out of it if you could? So, the Raiders might see some of that first year for sure, but I think it's good. You know, it's kind of the old rising tides raise all the boats.
Sure.
I think it's great for the city, you know, to have two teams, to have an NHL team that's had great success and now have an NFL franchise.
What's the Tom Brady buzz out there? Because, I mean, obviously this weekend just made it bigger, seeing that he was talking to Mark Davis, and everyone knows that Mark Davis is a maniac and will throw money around. What are you hearing, like, out there? Are people, like, thinking that this might be a real thing where Tom Brady would be with the Raiders?
Or the Golden Knights.
Yes.
One or the other. No, I think there's been a little bit of it, Rich. Here's the funny part. So we've been gone for a week. You know, this road trip ends tonight for us. So I physically haven't been there in a little bit. But, yeah, I think there is a pretty good buzz to it. Now, I don't know if any of it really, if it happens or not. But, you know, if you're a new franchise, not a new franchise, but a franchise moving to a new city, what better way to build one hell of a buzz for your franchise than to sign somebody like Tom Brady? So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me, but I haven't, physically having not been there for over a week now, I just haven't heard too much of it firsthand because I haven't been around.
Do you still have the house here? We were debating if you still had a house here.
I do. I do still have a house here. Yes, I have one out there too, but I have to rent the one here to make it feasible. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're doing okay here, but within reason. Within reason.
All right, so what are you trying to sell it? Do you want to give out a listing or anything? Or do you want to keep it?
Not as of this morning. No, I'm not looking to sell it. No,
okay,
no,
yeah, you hang on to that.
So are you looking to buy it?
No, but we have a real estate mogul here, Dave Gosher, who's a land baron with rental properties all over the globe.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. What a great setup. It's unreal.
I think I might have asked this before, but it's astounding to me. Did your head spin when you got to Vegas and said, hang on, I can get this house for the same amount that I spent on the one back in New England that's like six times as big?
Oh, it's nuts. Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. It is hard to get, like, space out there, if that makes sense. Like, you get more for your money, Rich. There's no question about it, but, like, to get, like, some land or a yard, that can be a little bit more of a challenge. But, yeah, like, a house out there, my house that you know, back here, yeah, it's not even it's stupid. But I will tell you, it's not dirt cheap. I think that is a little bit of a misnomer. Like, it's not as expensive. I don't know what's as expensive as back here, to be honest with you. And some, you know, you are, for, you're in the high-rent district where you guys are. But you know
yeah,
what
you
I mean?
That right, baby. Not,
yeah. No. I know that's how you roll. But
yeah,
it's... Yeah. Yeah, but no, but it's great. You know, I think I told you guys before, you know, I had been to Vegas, I think, three or four times before I actually moved out there. And Everyone goes out there. If you're going there for a long weekend, and I get it, the strip is great. But, like, you know, I'm out by Red Rock Canyon out near the mountains. It's beautiful. I never knew any of that stuff existed until I actually moved out there, you know, I guess 3 years ago now, or whatever it's been, and saw that there's a lot more to it than just that, you know, the strip's got everything you'd ever want. But there's also a lot more to it as well.
Yeah, I saw Bret Michaels this summer near the Red Rock Casino, so I know that natural beauty.
Oh, so did you go to Red Rock?
I did. I had nothing but a good time with my man, Brett Michaels.
I'm 5 minutes from there. So our team offices and our practice rink is, and everything's right. So we're all out in Summerlin. You were out in Summerlin, Fred, which is where pretty much everybody that works for the team lives. So it's a great spot. So Red Rock is, that's a pretty quick trip from the Gosher Mansions over there.
Are you finding the home ice advantage in Vegas to be a real thing, where teams will come into town and because it's Vegas, they will possibly go out the night before and it's noticeable on the ice?
Yeah, you know what's funny, Rich? I think that so a lot of teams have taken like that extra night, but I will tell you that, I don't know. I think if in this day and age, like even if you've got an extra night in Vegas, you should be able to get your act together by 7 o'clock the night of the game, right? So I think what they've benefited from, what the Golden Knights have benefited from, is just the incredible passion of the fan base. You know, they love that team, and you know, this year at home they've been kind of you know, they've been in a couple of games over 500, or three or four games over 500. The first 2 years they were off the charts at home in terms of their success, but this year, not so much. You know, we'll see if that changes. But I will tell you guys, it's the most electric building in the league. There's nothing like it. You know, and I loved, you know, being in the Garden for a lot of years. And Montreal's got a great atmosphere, and Nashville does it upright. If you get a chance to go to a game at T-Mobile, it's off the charts every night. That's what gets me. It's not like, you know, a random Tuesday against Columbus is like a Saturday against L.A. It's a phenomenal place to go.
Oh, it's absurd. And you got Wizards throwing fireballs during the pregame, too, and all that crazy stuff. I mean, dude, it's unbelievable.
They got to up their game, right? They got to have to make it bigger and brighter every year, right, Dave?
Any other city, it wouldn't, like, you'd kind of, like, roll your – but in Vegas, it's perfect. You need Knights and Wizards and explosions and castle sieges and before the game starts.
It's Excalibur Hotel.
Yeah, it's more to it than just the game, right? But here's the thing, Rich. They put a team in Vegas. They didn't put a team in Raleigh, you know? So it's, I think they were there, and we've got a great production staff and a whole team of people that conjure up all these ideas. And the guy that used to run it up, Johnny Greco, is a great guy. He's moved on now to the to work for Madison Square Garden, but used to be one of the main guys with WWE, right? So you want to talk about entertainment like that? Yeah. You know, so they have that mindset of, and I do think this guy's, in all seriousness, they have shown and they have proved there's more than one way to do it. You know, like, and what they do there wouldn't work here. It's not going to work maybe in Toronto or Montreal, but, you know, there's more than one way to do your game presentation. And they've been among the best in the league now for 2.5 years.
I'll just never forget the series between the Golden Knights and the Capitals when they would show the entire intro that the Capitals had, which was ridiculous. I mean, it was, you know, Knights breaking the ice and all these explosions. And then the opening thing for the Capitals, they just rolled Pat Sajak out there in a sensible sweater to say hello to the crowd. Like, it couldn't have been any more different and any more glaringly obvious which one was putting the effort in and which one was
Sajak
not.
Sajak was. All right.
I remember being there in Washington for, I don't know, game three or four of the Cup final, and I remember him coming. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, they had the original Wonder Woman there, so
that's right. Linda Carter,
that's right. Linda Carter.
Yeah, so the Knights have fired their coach, and that's all going on. But when you look at this Bruins team, and you know, over the last couple of days, I'm sure you've had to delve into their season. You know, they haven't been. They've been blowing a lot of leads. They haven't. You know, they're winning. They can't win a shootout. All these things. What is your reading on the team right now?
Well, it's funny, for like they were, you know, there was a stretch there. I wondered how they would come out because, you know, after losing in such an emotional way last year, right? And I wondered how they would start the season, and it didn't really seem to bother them much. And it seemed like the first couple of months they were, you know, they were lights out. You know, I wonder a little bit. You know, I wonder up front, do they have enough I know David Krejci missed the past couple of games, and I saw Tuf get hurt the other day. The leads are, that's a bit troubling. I mean, especially with a team that used to, the Bruins could lock down games. I mean, a 3-goal lead, forget it. You might as well just go home. So, but that being said, they're still one of the best teams in the NHL and certainly right up there among the best teams in the East. I wonder if maybe they add something up front, in terms of a forward to maybe help them out. It wouldn't surprise me if they go on another good run, but they've gone through the stretch here. Like you said, Fred, I was in the beginning of this road trip. We were in Buffalo and the game was on. We were out and the game was on, and we were up 5-2 on the Flyers, and I picked my head back up and the game was tied. And then the other day, same thing with Pittsburgh, where we were flying here, to be honest with you. We flew here from Montreal Sunday afternoon, and I looked on my phone and it was 3-0, and we got here and they lost the game. So, but, you figure a team that still has that core, with Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, Tuca, Krejci. I mean, I would imagine at some point they'll kind of sort things back out. But, they built themselves a hell of a cushion. I mean, here they are, with a sizable lead in the division and right up there among the best teams in the league again. So it wouldn't surprise me if they don't go on another good run. I mean, they're that good for sure.
All right. Well, Dave Gosher, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Enjoy the game tonight and safe travels throughout Las Vegas.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, good to see you, man.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, I want to talk about the Hall of Fame real quick, but not so much who's going to get in, but these writers' ballots have gone completely the other way. Now that they're public, they're just like, I want to make friends. And so we'll talk about that. Here are the headlines.
What a day here in San Diego. 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and a huge beach volleyball matchup. About 12 people sitting in wooden bleachers. Maverick and Goose taking on the Iceman and Slider. Everybody shirtless but Goose, understandably so. Maverick a long way away from the days of Scientology. What a matchup here. Maverick with one final vicious spike. Maverick with the t-shirt back on his way to meet Kelly McGillis. Maverick has arrived at Kelly McGillis's house on the beach. He is way late for dinner, but nonetheless, score!
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. There is the new Spencer for Hire movie that was filmed all around here in Dorchester, and
There's a big action scene at the closed down Wonderland dog track.
Well, listen, they put a lot of fake snow out and blocked a lot of traffic and said we're big deals.
This is a movie that can't miss, boys. I'm telling you.
But the thing is I guess that, that's been torn down for a while. So they had to recreate the Wonderland, did they not? Because that's torn down, right? That's not there anymore, right?
Bird is now.
Oh,
now
so the building is still there?
Yeah, you've got Bird's wheelhouse. Yes.
Okay, because I thought they were going to build that Amazon place in that spot. I thought they'd already plowed it down.
That was Suffolk Downs.
Oh, I'm getting the two mixed up. Okay, all right. So there's a big action sequence.
I can't wait. But
it's those books are really disposable, and you hadn't read anything like that for a while. So Wallach was talking about those books, and those books are hysterical.
Well, now, given where we are in society and what, Parker wrote those books in like the mid-70s.
It doesn't matter, but it's still like he's like, he's trying to get this madam to give him information. So he asked her out for dinner and she's like, I don't know. And he goes, what if I did a one-arm push-up?
Yep, that's right.
And he does a one-arm push-up. And you're like, this guy kicks major ass.
Everything you're saying makes me want to watch this.
And then they're going to make it all Bad Boys-y. But and then
it is all Bad Boys-y. I just watched the trailer.
And then he wakes up and he's like, I did, like, this is a book
None of this is pertinent information.
Right.
He gets up, he's like, got up, did 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups, and decided to go to work.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Okay, yeah. So I guess Wonderland's torn down, but they did it after they filmed this. So last year, I guess they're saying it was torn down? All right.
Well, listen, it's a good thing that they filmed so many movies here. All right, because you got to wait till they turn down to some mall. All right, so I know this isn't everyone's cup of tea, but I do have an angle on this. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is the only Hall of Fame that matters. The Football Hall of Fame is a joke. The Basketball Hall of Fame, I can't even figure it out. It's just like, there's like high school dudes in there.
Yeah.
So,
it's about the history of the sport, Fred.
Right. So it seemed to me that they were like guardians of the gate, the writers used to be, and I could be wrong. But, you know, Rich, you are a big guy about the pretentiousness of the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep. I just think that if somebody deserves to be in, they should be in. It doesn't matter what number year it is. That is highly pretentious.
Okay, but now that these ballots are, a lot of these ballots are public, I mean, these guys just want to make friends. These guys have turned the other way. All right, Jeter is probably going to be unanimous. This guy from ESPN is Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones, who's my biggest memory, was he half-assed a fly ball and Bobby Cox came out onto the field, grabbed him by the jersey, and walked back into the dugout.
A fantastic defensive player for a long time.
It's not worth considering.
Yeah,
Jeff Kent is fine. Scott Rolen, and I'm a Cardinals fan. Scott Rolen was never a star. Here's the deal. You got to be a star. Burt Blyleven, and I know a lot of people don't care, but if you even tangentially pay attention to baseball. Just something that Burt Blyleven wasn't even like the best pitcher on his teams. Billy Wagner.
Okay. Lefty closer.
No, yes. I'm aware of who Billy Wagner is.
Yeah.
I mean, what kid didn't grow up loving Billy Wagner? And Larry Walker, who's played in Colorado.
By the way, he's going to get in and is not deserving.
Of course not. He was
not
never
even
a star.
Close to being deserving. But now writers, like they always do with every award they vote on, overthink the hell out of things. And this is Walker's final year on the ballot. And they're going to give it to him.
I don't know why it changes. I don't know why their opinion changes like that. This guy's ballot is whatever. Jeter, Kent, and Vizquel. I don't have a problem with Vizquel. He played 45 years.
Is there any more worthless a click than reading someone's article that justifies why they picked who they did for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm not reading these.
Everyone comes out with one, too, and you're like, I don't care.
Sometimes when it's, like, ridiculous.
Well, then there's always a guy. You said that Jeter's going to be unanimous. I bet there's one guy who doesn't pick Jeter.
I always thought about that. Rivera was unanimous last year. The writers finally got out of their own way and made Rivera unanimous.
Jeter's going to be unanimous.
Jeter, if he's not, maybe one guy holds out.
I would be very interested to know why.
Yeah. That'll be another article.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yep, and there you go. And he knows he's going to get his clicks.
Yeah, good. Enjoy the day.
No, it's only interesting the steroid guys are coming to the end.
All right, so I'm getting to that. All right, this other guy, this girl, I'm sorry, says Barry Bonds, fine. Walker, again, I don't know why. Jeter, yes. Roland, no. Gary Sheffield? I like Gary Sheffield more than I like, and I don't care about their numbers, by the way. I like Gary Sheffield more than I like Walker. Sammy Sosa, fine. Wagner again, what the hell? Andy Pettit? Manny Ramirez, who I forgot was even eligible. And Todd Helton. Todd Helton. Again, every kid had a poster of Todd Helton up in his, and he's another one of those Colorado guys.
Yeah, Helton and Walker were the guys who hit in the middle of the order. It makes no sense.
No, all right.
Anyone who was paying attention
for those, for those fantastic Colorado teams.
Yeah.
All right, Tim Kurchin. No, you know Kurchin.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I will give this to John Walk, who does the best Kurchin of all of us.
These are the gods of the sport. You can't afford. You have to vote for only the truly deserving people. Larry Walker, you know, played in Colorado all those years, but what a fine individual he was. My vote's going to him.
All right, so he has Walker, but he has Jeter, Walker, Bonds, Clemens, then the ultimate sin of Curt Schilling, who looks like he's not making it, thank God.
Is this his last year?
Schilling? No.
Schilling's got a few
Schilling,
more.
Clemens, and Bonds are all the same. This is their eighth year of eligibility. You get 10.
Okay. All right. So, Curt Schilling just being human scum.
He'd get my vote.
I have never met anyone who likes Curt Schilling. Not one person.
Well, I mean, now. Sure.
Because I was having dinner with a guy that some people
thought was Kurt Schilling.
Kurt Schilling. And every when I mentioned, they're just like, what a piece of garbage. Like, what a clown. What, like, I was every time I have a conversation about someone who's really dumb, someone might bring up Kurt Schilling.
I can't think of anyone.
Taking the trucks.
Who has all he had to do was just stay off the internet. Stay off the internet.
No, all he had to do was not go, like, and play hero that I'm going to take these. I'm taking these semi-trucks with cat litter boxes in them down to been over a hurricane.
And then abandoned them on the side of the road, or not the side of the road, in a parking lot.
Who would have known that could have gone wrong? Who would have known? Or his big Trump rally was the saddest thing I've ever... And Trump won the election. And Schilling could only get four people to come to a rally.
They all work for the news.
Yeah, it's not like Trump, you know, did poorly. A lot of people voted for him. Schilling's... Can you imagine how sad that would be if you're like, all right, I'm a borderline Hall of Fame baseball player who's has a great historic accomplishment in this city. And I'm going to... have a rally for a candidate who very well might win this election, and you're standing under a tarp and you got your little speech like written out and everything, and four people show up.
That picture is the best.
It's like having a birthday party when you're a kid and like no one coming, just sitting there with the cake alone. Clemens, Schilling, Sheffield, Helton, Roland, Vizquel, and Kent. Yeah, I mean, you can count the amount. Schilling just sitting there bottom talking on the mic. So Kirchen just went crazy. Kirchen went into his book of box scores and just started turning the pages and wiggling his fingers. He's like DA looking at a pair of feet. He's just like, Ian O'Connor, you know, Bonds, Clemens, Jeter, Schilling, Boo, Vizquel, Walker, Wagner.
You don't have to vote for the full 10 if not everyone is good enough.
Well,
that's the thing.
There's guys who voted for 10 that say it's not enough, that they didn't have enough.
They're all incredibly wrong. Take a look at all those people. I wouldn't vote for Vizquel either.
Bobby Abreu, this one guy votes for.
Oh, Jesus. And sometimes because they have the 10 votes, they'll vote for one guy because they know that guy won't get voted for by anyone else.
So maybe they get a drink?
They'll toss him in there.
Maybe the guy will buy him a drink.
Sure.
Maybe they'll get a nice email. The two candidates I spent the most time with are Bray and Wagner, who did not have the numbers that make them automatic selections. But if we are fair, they were better than many other players from their positions already in Cooperstown. Well, there you go. Let's compare them to guys that played in the 30s. You know, old Willie Night Train Lane.
Because baseball was exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Pitching was exactly the same.
Old tin can McGillicuddy. And throw one right by you. All right, so there you go. These baseball guys have now convinced themselves that they have to put 75 guys on their ballot.
This might be the year for at least Bonds. Bonds,
no problem.
There's a guy who tracks all of these things for the people who don't pay attention. There's a guy who tracks all the Hall of Fame ballots that become public, and like 35% of them are public. Bonds is right on the line this time.
I have no problem with Bonds. And Bonds was a huge superstar.
Bonds and Clemens, too. I think Clemens, if you put Bonds in, you got to put Clemens in, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Jeter, Bonds, and Clemens should be in this year.
All right. I don't have a problem with that. All right. And I don't have a problem with Vizquel. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.